Welcome to the Spheres of Spirit with Natzy Myers, aka the Lady of the Light. Natzy will discuss the everyday magic and wisdom of spirit which surrounds each of us, waiting to be discovered. She will share some of her remarkable orb photos, proving that our angels, guides, loved ones in spirit, and even pets surround us and guide us in our physical world. During this episode, Natzy will discuss one of the many spheres or aspects of spirit available to us based on her orb photography. She will also share a special channeled message from her guide, Leonini, and do an oracle card reading to help guide you along your personal spiritual adventure. And now, here is your host, orb photographer, author, medium, and speaker, Natzy Myers.
Hi, welcome. Today's going to be a fun show, I think. I'm going to talk about fairies. Now, when you hear the word fairies, I know most of us will automatically think of the tooth or the Tinkerbell fairy. Well, we're going to go beyond that a little bit. We're going to talk about who are the fairies? Where did they come from? Why are they here? What do they do? But first I'd like to show you kind of, I always base my talks on my orb photography. So if we could, can we bring up the first slide? So this slide, I just love it. For those of that are listening, this is a green orb, but there's like little white lights all around it and magical things happening. And so when I chose the quote for this particular photograph, this Peter Pan quote just seemed to fit perfectly. It says, "All the world is made up of faith and trust and pixie dust." And I thought, that is so perfect because that's kind of what my work is. Thank you very much, Chris, for the photo. I base my work on faith and trust. And if I substitute pixie dust for magic, you know, that's what I talk about. It's the magic and wisdom of spirit. But let's talk about the fairies. Now, this is really brave of me to do this. So I'm going to tell you that what I'm about to tell you and share with you, my dreams, my visions, my experiences, my photographs. It's what's happened to me. I'm not trying to convert anybody, to believe in fairies. It's just another possibility, another sphere of spirit. So take what fits, take what you can handle, take what you can believe in, take what you can hold on to, and then just leave the rest. But this one's fun. So let's start off. By who are the fairies? Well, the fairies, they say, belong to what's called the elemental kingdom. They are the elementals. They are the elemental world. Well, what does that mean, the elemental? Well, according to myths from antiquity, they're called elementals because they embody one of the elements of the earth, earth, dirt, water, air, or fire. So there's anthropological records of indigenous beliefs and practices throughout the world that show that the belief in the elementals predates all major religions. There are stories and myths of fairies or elementals all over the world, including Iceland. And Iceland, right? Iceland, I hope I don't butcher this name, they called them Huldufolk. And in Ireland, Tuatha De Danann, the Native Americans have a form of fairies that they believe in called the Manitou. The Polynesians believe in a form of fairies or little people that really goes back throughout to the beginning of their Polynesian history. Now, when we think of fairies or the elementals, which can include things such as pixies, brownies, sprites, elves, leprechauns, gnomes, dwarves. We kind of lump them, we meaning modern folk, we kind of lump them now into one category. And I think part of the reason we do that is because they are kind of mythological creatures, all those creatures that I named. So the name of fairy, where did that come from? So the word fairy comes from classical mythology. You know, in classical mythology with fairy is kind of the Celtic region is what modern day we think of now. But it comes from the word fatae, F-A-T-A-E. And that word meant the fates, F-A-T-E-S. And then there was, from that, it went into fae, F-A-E. If you study fairies or read about fairies, you'll see them spelled many different ways. They'll call them the fae, they'll call them the little people, they'll call them the wee folk, the fairy, F-A-E-R-I-E, they'll spell it. But what's interesting is the early Celtics called them the fae, but when you fell under the state of their control, if you will, or their spells, they said then it was called fairy, and that meant you came into a state of enchantment and were enchanted by these beings. So where do these beings live? Why can't we see them now? Well, it's really interesting. You know, the good old Romans, when they conquered, especially the Celtic regions, this was their modus operandi when they get there. They would carefully document the religious beliefs, the practices, and everything. And once they had that all written down, then they went about to destroy those and bring in Christianity. So the fairies, when in their opinion, in the Roman opinion, they were associated with paganisms. And so they said, you know what, this just doesn't fit with Christianity. So we are going to demonize them. We are going to make them evil and associate them with witches and demons and have these people stop believing in them. But the belief in fairies is deeply rooted. To this day, of course, if you get to the opportunity to travel to Ireland or England or Wales, you know, that belief is still very, very strong. You will hear people tell stories, you know, of, yes, I saw a leprechaun, or, and then he disappeared, or yes, you know, the fairy, I could hear the fairy singing, or, you know, whatever it is, but there's still a very strong belief in the fairies. Now, some say that the fairies at one time were here on Earth and all the time. Ancient times. I'm talking ancient. But then once the humans started spreading and multiplying, the fairies tried to coexist. They tried to get along with the humans. But so many of them were cruel. So many of them, you know, I mean, conquer, we're going to conquer, you know, that's kind of our mantra as human beings, we are going to control. And so the fairies, it is said, had to retreat. But where did they retreat to? So there's stories that there is an elemental kingdom. And I'm going to share with you a story about how I saw this elemental kingdom a little later. But it is also said that the fairies are right beside us in a parallel universe. And when they couldn't get along with the humans, then they retreated to this parallel universe. So the fairies obviously vibrate at a different vibration. It's kind of like our loved ones in spirit. They can walk between two worlds. They can get to the other world because they vibrate much faster than we do. So these fairies went to this elemental kingdom. But what is the purpose of fairies? Why were they here in the first place? Well, if they were made or came from the elements, then it was almost their duty to take care of the earth, take care of the plants and the animals. I've read stories where it's said that even every blade of grass has its own protector and fairy. And so they are still here. And I'll show you some hopefully photographic evidence. But they stay for the most part unseen. And it is for their own protection. Because what would we do? Oh, let's capture them and study them and dissect them and figure them out, right? Yeah. But so that's why a lot of people say, yes, I saw a leprechaun just for a flash. And then right before my eyes, he disappeared. Well, he didn't disappear. He went to his world. So he went through the portal or the vibration or whatever it was where he was going. So this is a big day for me to come out and talk to you about my fairy experience, because it's so wild and so crazy, but it's also in the same vein, so amazing, so miraculous, and so much fun. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about why I'm doing this. So behind me are my two books. So the first book I wrote, it's called Entering the Light Fantastic. And my son came to me and said, Mom, you're going to write a book about, you know, your spiritual journey and me and the work we do and the orbs. And I was so resistant because I wasn't an author at that point, but he worked with me. I channeled him a bit. He helped me. And fortunately, it's been very well received. And I went, okay, I'm done. Yay. Okay. I did that, Robbie. There you go. Well, then about a year and a half, 2 years later, he comes to me and he says, we're going to write another book. I went, no, I don't want to write another book. It's really hard for me to write. I'm not a natural writer. So it takes every fiber of my being to sit there and concentrate on this. But he added this caveat. He said, Mom, you're not going to leave anything on the table. You're going to share everything that happened to you. And I went, no, I don't have the courage to do that. You know, some of this stuff is pretty woo-woo. It's pretty far out. And he says, no, Mom, you have to. You have to share this because there will be people that benefit from it. And you will actually benefit from sharing the stories. I said, okay. So it took me a little while. Now, I've already told you about my experience with the dragons, you know, and I thought, okay, that's out there. That's good. But when it came to the fairies and the fairy stories, I had to swallow hard and gather my courage and said, okay, my son has asked me, so I'm going to do this. So in my book, I go into a little bit more detail than what I'm going to talk about today. So, you know, it's really interesting. There are people who think that, you know, fairies are strictly a myth and something in our minds for children. And you know, when we think of fairies, you know, we a lot of times think of the winged creatures with the pointy ears, or the elves tall with the pointy ears, or Tinkerbell. And that's thanks to Hollywood or the authors, you know, who wrote Peter Pan or J.R.R. Tolkien, who talked about the elves. So we have those images, but there's many, many more images and beings, and they can come in different sizes and different ways. So there are even some brave historians or some brave scholars, they call them, who believe and know and trust that these beings were actually or are actually still a very ancient race. Now that says something. So before I go into this, I wanted to tell you a quick story or share with you one of my heroes on this spiritual journey. Some of you may have heard Edgar Cayce. And Edgar Cayce was one of the most documented mediums and channels in the world. He gave over 14,000 documented readings. Now, Edgar Cayce, there's a wonderful book out. It's his biography. It was written by a man named Thomas Sagu. It's called The River. I always forget. Let me get my note here. It's called The River Runs Through It. Nope, that's not it. The River. Oh, there is a river. Sorry. Getting it confused with the movie. It's called There Is a River. Now, because Edgar Cayce is one of the most documented mediums, he comes with a lot of validation. And so I trust him. He started out, he was the sleeping prophet was what they called him. And what he found is he would loosen his tie, untie his shoes, lay down on the sofa, and he'd fold his hands over his chest, and he would immediately slip into a trance. And he started out doing medical intuitive readings. And when he was in the trance, his stenographer who wrote down all these readings and his wife, they were kind of his guides and directors of these readings. So they would say, okay, today you're going to read for Jeff Scott. And Jeff Scott lives in Chicago and he lives on Main Street, and here's his address. And then immediately Edgar Cayce would say in a different voice, a little bit, yes, we have the entity. I see him. We see him now. Notice how he switched from me to we. I thought that was fascinating. So anyway, he would scan the body. He would find out what was wrong with Jeff Scott, and he would diagnose it. Now, Edgar Cayce was not a physician. He had never been schooled in anatomy or in medicine. He was a photographer by trade. But anyway, he would find it. He'd identify what this person was going through, but then he would prescribe a cure, a natural cure that the person could make and follow. And there are story after story and documents after documents that people were cured. So Edgar Cayce is a fascinating figure if you want to read about him. But he knew even at a young age that he had special gifts. And it really fought with who he was and what he believed in, because Edgar Cayce was always also a devout Christian. He read the Bible from cover to cover every year for, I think, 30 years. So he had very strong religious beliefs, but he also knew and honored these other gifts that he had. So when he was a little boy, the first thing that they write about, I believe, is when his grandfather died and his grandfather came to visit him. And he saw his grandfather in spirit and talked to him. But here's the story that relates to the fairies. Edgar Cayce lived on kind of a farm with his family, so it was very rural. And he had a lot of forest and open space to play in. So he had a little friend. Her name was Anna. And he and Anna would go to their favorite grove of trees or whatever it was, or place that they would play. And one day, these three children, they were as tall as Edgar. This is when he was a little boy, 7, 8 years old, and Anna, and play with them. But at the end of the day, the fairy children, and he knew they were different. He just, you know, it took him a little while to figure that they were fairies. They would go their way, and Edgar and Anna would return to their home. Sometimes the fairy children would follow them home. And one day his mother, Edgar's mother, was in the kitchen looking out the window, and she could see these three children. And she, when Edgar came in the house, she said, "Who are those children?" And Edgar said, "Oh, they're our friends who always meet us in the forest." So Anna could see them. Edgar could see them. His mother could see them. But here's the story that they wrote that I just love. It said one day they were in the forest and it began to rain. And so they started running for cover, Edgar and Anna, and then the three fairy children were running with them. And they found cover and they're standing there. And Anna says, "Well, you're not wet. Why did you not get wet from the rain?" And one of the fairy children answered, "Well, we can't get wet. We live in the flowers and the music." And Anna asked, "What music?" And the fairy children said, "Well, the music of everything." So I love this for so many reasons, because first it says, okay, these fairies exist within the energy of the plants and the frequency of the world. And I've talked about before with orbs. Orbs are frequency. Orbs are vibration. Vibration produces color. Everything vibrates. So here these fairy children are telling Edgar and Anna, we live in that vibration. So I you know, that's just one of my favorite books and validations. You know, I that's the validation from Edgar Cayce. Now, I've told you in my podcast before, I'm a bit of a medium junkie, and I've gone to a lot of very good, very well-known mediums. And there are mediums who connect with fairies, who talk to fairies, the same as they talk to the angelic realm, the same as they talk to our loved ones in spirit, the same as they talk to the ascended masters. So there's another validation. I know these mediums are reputable and very gifted, and I trust what they say and see. But here's what happened to me. I have talked about in my book, and maybe I've mentioned it here a couple of times, early on, and I think it was just a year or so into my spiritual journey after my son Robbie passed in 2010. My son Robbie passed, and that's what started me on this spiritual journey. And Robbie and I worked together. He's the one that told me through a medium that I would be doing orb photography and that we would help heal souls on his side and souls on my side. So I have been walking this path and trying to honor his request, because if that was his purpose, then I'm going to do everything in my power to fulfill that purpose. And if it's his purpose, then it's got to be my purpose too. So I try that. He's given me a statement, and he said, "Mom, just follow the popcorn." He said, like Hansel and Gretel, "I'm going to leave the popcorn bits out for you. So they'll be one at a time. But as long as you trust and follow the popcorn, you will progress down your path." So one of the popcorns that he put in front of me was this opportunity to go to a week-long workshop with James von Prague. Now, to me, James von Prague was a medium god. I used to watch James von Prague way before my son crossed. And I just loved that people could do that. I was fascinated by it. And I would watch his show religiously, no pun intended. And I believed in it. So when this opportunity came up that I could study with the great and powerful James von Prague, I jumped at it. So that week really changed my life. I write about it in my first book. There were so many amazing things that happened to me that really propelled me down my spiritual street, if you will. But I'm going to share this story with you. If it's okay to break now, Chris, we can have our 30-minute break. And when I come back, I will share my fairy story with you.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. OM Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, OM Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an OM Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on OM Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive OM Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. OM Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
When I first saw a turtle, my heart was full. Not anything but lonely.
We have this like deep connection, this heart connection.
He just wants to be close to you and part of your life.
Every day with Turtle is a perfect day.
When I'm holding her, it makes me feel calmer.
I think everything he does shows how much he loves us.
When we adopt a shelter pet, we discover they're a little bit of a lot of things.
But they're all pure love.
And we're back, and thanks for being there and listening to my story about fairies. So I'm going to share with you what happened to me at this workshop with James von Prague. Now, because this was early on, I was really green at all this stuff. But one of the exercises that we did is James led us in a past life regression meditation. I had never been put in a past life regression. I didn't know much about it. And in fact, I doubted myself so much throughout this workshop. I sat there and I thought, oh, I probably am not going to be able to do this, you know, but okay, I'll give it the old college try. So anyway, James started talking and we had to close our eyes. And he guided us gently through this meditation and preparing us. If you've never had a past life regression, I highly recommend it. Either you do it yourself or you have someone who can do it for you and tell you what you see. I happen to believe in past lives and some people don't. Well, that's okay. I do. So this is very important because when you know about a past life, sometimes you bring tendencies or lessons or other facets or people into this life. And for instance, there are people who are deathly afraid of water. And when they have a past life regression, either they do it or the person is doing it for them, they'll find out that they drowned in another life. And once you know that, you can release that trauma, you can release that fear, and then it won't affect you in this life anymore. So it's a fascinating area, past lives, and we'll probably have a show on it in the future. But anyway, so at this workshop, James starts, you know, close your eyes and relax and breathe, and you're dropping down, and then all of a sudden he says, okay, when you're ready, open your eyes either physically or in your mind, and you will see your past life. And so 1, 2, 3, you know, I didn't open my eyes, but I thought, okay, something should appear in my mind's eye. And it did. And the image that I saw was I'm sitting on a boulder. I'm in this I felt like I was underground, but yet I could see the sun and the sky. And I'm sitting up there and there's a friend standing next to me and I've got kind of my arm over my knee and I'm looking at all these busy people. Everybody's scurrying around and they're very busy way down the hill from us. And I'm talking to my friend and I'm telling my friend, this won't do. This won't do. I have to do something. And she says to me, no, you can't. You can't go. You can't leave. And I go, no, I have to. I have to do this. Well, then all of a sudden I hear James von Prague go, okay, I'm going to count to three. And it's going to be your time of death. And you're going to tell, you know, you'll see how you pass. So he counts one, two, three. And I thought, okay, I'm going to die. I didn't die. All of a sudden, what appeared to me in my mind's eye in the scenario, and I describe it as if it was a clear shower curtain. You know how if you look through a clear shower curtain or a frosted shower curtain, you can kind of see through it, but it's distorted. But in this shower curtain image that I was looking at, it also had all these lights flashing on and off, these little lights. And I saw it and I stood up and my friend is still pleading with me, no, don't go, don't go. And I said, no, I'm going. I stood up. I walked into that shower curtain and I entered a whole nother realm. And when I got there, there was this very tall being welcoming me, greeting me, and he had in his hand a lantern like on a stick. And he handed me the lantern and I put it over my shoulder and I began to walk. And right about then, James von Prague took us out of the imagery and woke us up. I didn't know what to make of this. And I didn't learn about what all this was until much later. So that's kind of story number one. So story number two, and this is the part that I really had to swallow hard to write about. One of Robbie's very dear friends came over one day, and this is probably maybe 6 months after this James von Prague workshop. And she was all excited. And she said, Nancy, I just got back from Sedona, Arizona. And she said, I found this past life regressionist and I had a past life done. And now she was a very good friend of my son's. And she said, I learned in a past life that Robbie and I were brother and sister. And she was so happy and so excited to tell me. Well, all I can think of in my mind is, I've got to do this. I have got to go. So I told my husband, I said, could we go to Sedona, please? My husband, God bless him. Sure. You know, let's go to Sedona. So I contacted this lady. She gave me her name and number, and we go to Sedona. And my husband said he wanted to try it too. And I said, okay, so you go first and I'll wait here. And so he did. And then in about 20 minutes, he came back out and he was very emotional. And I said, what happened? And he said, you know, I think it's just too emotional for me yet. I can't do this. And I said, okay. And I said, I'm so sorry that you went through this, but I'm gonna go try. I want to see if I have a past life with Robbie somewhere so that I know I can explain some of this. And he said, no, I understand. You go ahead. So I walked into the office. Lovely lady. Now she hypnotized me. This is the first time I've ever been hypnotized. And again, I'm having my doubts. Okay, can I be hypnotized? You know, can I do this? And so she was very good at, you know, getting me to relax and to breathe. And she walks me through it, you know, and all of a sudden I can see the imagery that she's describing. Okay, you see a golden rope, hang on to that rope and follow the rope. And then you're in this, down this hall, and there's these huge big doors lining the hall. She goes, I want you to pick one of those doors. And so I said, okay. So I stopped in front of the door. Now I could see this door so clearly. I could see the grain in the door. I could see the hinges and the big handle. And she said, when you're ready, open the door. So I open the door and I walk in and I'm in a beautiful garden, just beautiful. Well, I'm thinking, okay, where's Robbie? And she said, well, what do you see? And I said, I see this beautiful garden. And she said, find you. And so I'm looking around and I'm looking around, and all of a sudden I see this figure sitting in the garden, surrounded by these big, beautiful flowers. And I went, she goes, did you find you? And I said, yeah. And she goes, can you describe what you see? And I said, I'm a fairy. I'm a fairy? And I mean, for me to see that, here I went into this because I wanted to experience a past life with my son. Being a fairy in a past life was the furthest from my mind. So I know that didn't come from me. It came to me. So then we proceeded, you know, with what all that was. But she asked me an interesting question. She said, okay, so you incarnated then as a human, or now. She said, why did you incarnate as a human? And without thinking, what came out of my mouth was to be seen. So that's when I go back to that imagery of the past life regression with James von Prague, and I walked through that shower curtain, if you will, into the other realm, I believe I was leaving the elemental kingdom, which is in another vibration, into the physical. I just found that fascinating. Now, I have to tell you, my friends call me Tink because they said I'm like a fairy. I have a very sensitive system. I'm very sensitive to the environment. I don't like meat. You know, it's really funny. So it makes sense on some of my physical traits that, okay, so maybe I was a fairy. So that was the part that was really difficult for me to put into the book. But all kidding aside, what that did then was validate my feelings of my strong belief that fairies on some level were real, that I had a connection, that they've always been around me. And I'm going to show you some pictures here in a little bit of some of the fairies can come in orbs or as energy or whatever. So that's what I'm going to show you here in a minute. But I'm going to tell you another story here. I play this game, if you will, with my husband. And when we people watch, and I'll look at people, and I know instantly, I go, not everybody, but sometimes I go, oh, she was a sprite, or oh, she was a pixie, or oh, he was a dwarf, or oh, he was an elf. Look at his ears. He's so tall and thin. So do we carry some of these traits with us? Yeah. You know, James von Prague, when we did that, and I could see me sitting on that boulder, I looked like me. And James von Prague, after the exercise, he asked us, he said, okay, how many of you saw yourself similar to your facial structure that you have now? And I went, oh boy, I really screwed that up. So I raised my hand, and not many people did. So I thought, oh, you know, I made it all up. But he said, no, that's what makes it real. We do carry a lot of our physical DNA, if you will, from one lifetime to another. Whether we're male or female, we will carry some with us. So, because I've been told many lifetimes I've been male, many lifetimes I've been female. So, and we all have had probably hundreds, if not thousands, of incarnations. That is my belief. It doesn't have to be yours, but that is my belief. That's what I've been told. And through these other past life regressions, I've experienced a lot of that. So knowing that that's my game is to try and pick out the fellow elementals that maybe I used to live with or hang out with. I was at a workshop and I met this lovely lady. Oh no, actually I was on a trip and I met her first, but then we joined up again at a workshop. And she was just such a giving person. And she was totally dedicated to the cause of midwifery. being a midwife, encouraging home births and natural births. She dedicated her whole life, and she works very closely with big hospitals to bring that into the fold. Like I said, it's just such a passion for her. But I looked at her and very nicely, I said, you know, Colleen, in another lifetime, you were in the elemental world. And she said, I was. And I said, yeah, would you like to know what I'm seeing? And I said, you were a dwarf. And now not the little people, you know, the small in stature people that we think of today, but the dwarfs kind of like, if you're going to think of them, think of Snow White, right? And I said, that's fascinating. I wonder why. So I looked up a story or the history and the mythology of dwarfs. And here's what I found. The dwarves, when their wives were ready to deliver, the male dwarfs, so the story goes, would go and kidnap like a midwife from the human world and take them to his world to help deliver the baby. So now here my friend is in the physical and she dedicates her life to midwifery. I just thought that is way too much of a coincidence to be a coincidence. So I just find that fascinating. So that goes back to also, you know, we carry the traits and what is our service. So, you know, the fairies, there's seemingly no concrete image. I told you our image when we hear the word fairy or elf, you know, a lot of times is influenced by Hollywood or by books. But one thing that they are is ethereal or mysterious. And sometimes they have a penchant for mischief or trickery. Some say they are malevolent, not benevolent, malevolent. But I like to work with the fairies that are here to help. So, you know, Albert Einstein, and this is a direct quote from him, and Albert Einstein is another hero of mine. I call on him a lot and I quote him a lot. But because he was very spiritual, he was almost an ascended master in a human body. But he said, if you want your children to be intelligent, read them fairy tales. Because fairy tales hold a grain of truth. They hold a grain of our ancient past. And if we open our eyes and explore it, and open our minds and think, is this possible? You know, I've told you time and time again on my podcast, my mantra is, with God, all things are possible. Wayne Dyer added, what does that leave out? It doesn't leave out anything. So why can't there be ethereal beings? We talk about angels. I've talked about dragons. Why not fairies? Why not the elemental kingdom? So I'm going to show you a couple of pictures here, if we can, if I can bring up the first picture, Chris. Now, this picture was taken, and I call this my fairy energy. I haven't captured an angel, a fairy per se, but this picture is the only one I've ever captured like this. I used my little camera, my little digital camera, my little cheap digital camera, but the flash is always on. But even though it's a little cheapy, it will pretty much stop even a hummingbird's wings in motion. So the shutter speed is pretty quick. So this isn't a piece of dust or an orb moving in all those directions at once. So I do call this one my fairy energy. And I thank them for appearing. I always talk to the fairies. So if we could get to the next one. Okay, so I told you fairies can sometimes come as orbs. We talked about fairies as pixies and sprites and elves and dwarfs and but they can always be also be water nymphs. I have seen pictures of people who have taken pictures of like waterfalls, and you can see the outline of these beings actually in the water. But for me, the elves appeared as orbs. So the picture on the right-hand side of your screen, the blue, is in this beautiful little stream that was in the middle of the redwood forest. It's difficult for me to get orbs during the day. It's not difficult. It's just not common. So when I get them during the day, they're very special. So this I do believe to be, you know, one of the water sprites, one of the water nymphs. And where else would fairies be but in the middle of a redwood forest, right? I mean, it's, and I think maybe that's why I'm drawn so much to the trees, and I have to go there every couple of years. The picture on the left is I'm literally sitting inside a gigantic sequoia redwood, and I asked my husband to take this picture, and you can see the green, course, you know, plants, animals, healing, orb right next to me as I sit in the middle of this tree. So, you know, I feel the fairies. I don't always see them, but I feel them. So now I have a fun picture to show you, the next one, if we can bring this up, Chris. Well, the next two. So I've showed this picture before, but I had a reading from a very good medium, and the medium told me, she said, Nancy, you have a guide. It's a leprechaun, which makes a lot of sense if I was a fairy in one ancient lifetime. And she said, he's literally calling himself Lucky. And so that night when I went outside, I took pictures and I got this orb, and hopefully you can see him. If you look for his two eyes and his crinkled hat, then you'll see his beard, his mustache, and even his pipe. So he's going, yep, here I am. I'm with you. I'm Lucky. That night, I had never gotten a leprechaun before. And in fact, now he's appeared to me probably 3 or 4 times. But this one was the first one. So if we can get to the next picture, Chris, thank you. This one was just kind of funny. So Shrek. I took this picture and this orb, and I immediately went, oh my gosh, it's Shrek. And so I put this orb right next to Shrek, who is an ogre. Are ogres part of the elemental world? Why not? But I have to tell you, I'm probably the only person on the planet who hasn't seen any of the Shrek movies. But when this appeared, it just made me smile. And you know, spirit has a sense of humor, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But yeah, even Shrek appeared. So if we could go to the next one, Chris. And these will be all these pictures are available on Om Times Radio and my website, theorbconnection.com. So I was just up with my friend a couple of weeks ago. She lives right near Mount Adams, Washington. And her place, she's up kind of on a mountain, a very isolated, and it is magical there. There is a group of trees, and those trees in the photo are part of them. They're literally a natural circle. And when you walk in to those trees, you can feel the magic. We call them the fairy ring. And so we were out at sunset, and I was taking pictures, and you can see that almost like a magic wand. You know, I call those ribbon orbs or moving orbs, but because it was so close to the fairies, I put this quote. It says, fairies can be elusive, but the magic they leave behind sparkles. And so I just felt that the fairies were there, and this was their sparkle. And so I just love this picture. So anyway, that's my story on my fairies. I hope you don't think I should be in a rubber room, but I hope you understand how I came to accept it and to believe in that. So I have Leonini's message, and speaking of humor and fairy tales, I sit with my guide Leonini. And I channel her, and she usually she'll show me an image, and then she gives me like a paragraph message, very down to earth, messages to help us along our spiritual path, to guide us, to steer us, maybe to answer questions if we're stuck. I do have a book that it's called Leonini, The Wisdom of Leonini, and there's over 100 of her messages paired up with a full color picture, because the first thing she does is show me an image and then she'll build the message around that. And so if you're interested, you'll have to write to me because it's not listed on Amazon. But you can open it to any page at any time and use that as, you know, your daily guidance if you so desire. But anyway, before I do my podcast, the day before, I always sit with Leonini and I said, okay, my intent is to have a message to share with the audience on the next day. So I'm sitting there, and when my guide comes in, I can feel her on my face. You know, it's like I'm walking through cobwebs, and that's how I know that she's there. So I'm sitting there and I feel her and I go, oh, good, you're here. Okay, what would you like to talk about? And all of a sudden, the sensation on my chin is overwhelming. It's almost like she's doing this. And I'm going, what are you doing? And then I hear chinny chin chin. And I went, no, I'm not going to do a message based on the three pigs. And she said, yeah, this is going to be fun. And she said, you're talking about fairies. Let's do a story about, you know, kind of associated with the fairy tales. I said, okay, you're the boss. So here is the message. In your children's story of the three little pigs, the wolf comes knocking and says, let me in. The pig inside responds with, not by the hair on my chinny chin chin. What does that mean? It means that the little pig hasn't the slightest inclination to let that wolf inside. The slightest inclination. That's all it takes to set boundaries, to set intentions. You do not have to build a house of bricks to work with only the highest good. Your inclination creates your space. It is that simple. You all have that power. It is as simple as that. You set the boundaries when you work with spirit, and we honor those. We do not come to blow your house down, and we do not force ourselves upon you. We work with you where you reside spiritually. We meet you on your level of understanding, and then we work together to raise you up. The highest good does not come disguised as a wolf. The highest good can only be one thing, love. When you carry this inclination within your heart, the walls of your faith are strong. So she kind of started out a little silly, but I thought the message was very powerful. So now I have to move to our card reading, and I just happen to have a fairy deck. So I'm going to shuffle the card with the intention that this helps you, the audience, on your path. So give me just a minute here, 30 seconds. Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. I don't like to pull the card ahead of time because I want you to know that I don't arrange this. I don't plan it ahead of time. I just take what spirit wants me to do at the time. So I'll shuffle these and I'll take the top card here and it jumps out. Ah, so it says positive expectations. So if you ask spirit to help you, to work with spirit, then expect positive expectations. Do not go, oh, I want to connect with my guide. Oh, but I'll probably never be able to do that. That was my mistake early on in my spiritual journey. I doubted myself. I would put that intention out and then I'd sabotage myself because I'd put those negative thoughts. So yes, expect positive expectations means the highest good, but also stay positive, okay? Trust that the universe and your guides hear you. So I just wanted to tell you, and positivity is important, by the way. You know, if you get sucked down into negativity, that's when you get into the ego. That's when you actually separate yourself more from the Creator. And so stay positive. And when you stay positive, you stay at a higher vibration, which then in turn makes it easier for you to connect with Spirit. Remember, they have to slow down, you have to speed up, and you kind of are able to meet them. And not in the middle, they come down way further than we go up, but you're able to meet with them a lot easier. So, well, that is my show on fairies. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you can maybe think now, well, maybe they do or have or will exist. I think they're coming back now because Mother Earth is in so much pain, and the fairies are going to be probably more, you'll hear more stories of spirit. So I'll catch you next time when we talk about what happens to you physically when we go on the spiritual path. Thanks for joining me. Take care. Bye.